So recently, Bill, according to Goo of Mac and Goo, maybe you heard of him, check out their podcast, Chris Pratt said while on Ambien, he challenged Dave Bautista to a wrestling match, which begs the question, Bill, who would be your ideal MCU actor tag team duo?
Oh, I mean, if we're going just the actors, Michael B. Jordan and Chris Evans.
You know, it's so, I didn't know where you would go. I had Michael B. Jordan in mind, but I was trying to figure out of like, is Michael B. Jordan the power or do I want Michael? Like, you had a good team. I feel like those are very similar strength, body size. Michael B. Jordan might be a little shorter than Chris Evans, but again, actors are also all like 5'4".
Yeah. And I feel like Chris Hemsworth, too, is just like, he'd be the big nasty in one of those tag teams. And I feel like I want the speed and the quickness all around, and he might be a little bulky.
Okay, so if you went that route, I'll switch mine because I was toying between Anthony Mackie and Tom Holland, a similar style, but I'll go Chris Hemsworth and Tom Holland for that almost like Shawn Michaels Diesel style. Like they're not going to win a ton of matches, but they're going to entertain the pants off of people. And eventually Tom Holland's going to, I don't know, like super kick him by accident and lead to the big split.
It's good booking, no doubt. Yeah.
Oh, listen, come on, Bill. When me and you were together, there's nothing but. I was trying to find like a wild card. Like I was going to try to find a way to get like Paul Rudd in there. But
if we were doing actual characters in the MCU, I would probably go Gamora and the Scarlet Witch.
Oh, Scarlet Witch, yeah.
Dominate the female division and probably take on most of the males as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else. Like I was trying to fit in. I was trying to see like who else would be like a wild card in this, but like, really, no offense, like as we get deeper into it, like Sam Rockwell, great actor. I'm not putting him in any wrestling matches. Michael Douglas, you know, he just goes downtown if that's the type of
match. Hey, that's a hero who does it.
That's a great point, Bill.
Listen, you know what? He's a villain though, right?
No, he's the hero.
He's the dad, right?
Yeah. I think that whole situation got a bad reputation. I want Michael Douglas to come out, stand proud, and say, hey, you know what I like to do a lot? Things superheroes don't do. And God damn it, I'm a superhero.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Welcome in to the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. You can follow along all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. Our little show here can be followed at Pop Culture PD. It's a Twitter handle, Pop Culture PD. And when you follow that, it will instantly make you rounder. I don't know. With me, as always, is my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. You can be followed along all social media platforms at Billy D 2411. And for a very special short time, because of the occasion that we're dealing with today, you can get on Billy's OnlyFans by using the promo code Billy's Big Dong. Again, Billy's Big Dong on at Billy D 2411's OnlyFans.
Baseball dongs.
Well, you added baseball dongs.
Yes.
Okay, so Billy's Big Baseball Dongs. I didn't know the promo code. My read hasn't been updated since your agent sent it over. But yeah, so Billy's Big Baseball Dongs, and you get the exclusive camera angles of the bottomless during Pineapple Boys, which I think are doing a little double this week. So they're hitting one, bounce, and then goes out of the park there, 2 for 1. But you can follow him again at Billy D 2411 across all social media platforms. He's Billy D. What's going on, man?
Hello. We're talking baseball. Maine, San Diego.
At the time of recording, we are recording this the day of the 2021 All-Star Game. It'll be the first time there's been an All-Star Game in two seasons because of, I don't know, a little something called the bitch last year, which was 2020, that shut down all things fun. Baseball barely started at this
point. Well, I mean, baseball's not fun anyway. So.
Oh, Bill. You know, we'll get to that. You can subscribe to this podcast over on iTunes. Find us on Spotify, Google Podcast, Amazon Music. You can find us anywhere you find your podcast, iHeartRadio, literally everywhere now. I can't think of a place it isn't. You can like and subscribe over on YouTube. Check us out as a part of the Dork Shared Gooniverse on Facebook. That's Dork Shared Gooniverse. Just search Dork Shared, usually. that's Lennon's gonna pop up. And then we are a part of that with the streamers like Shime Time, Arvon D, Dr. Joe. We have the podcast of the Change My Mind variety. We have the Dork podcast, and we have Mac and Goo. You can check out our merch over at TeePublic. Just search for Pile Driver, music by Oh Yeah.
Oh Yeah. And we'll be going to a show soon.
Yes, week of recording. Also, speaking about merch, Bill, what's going on? I've seen you've been being super creative with some t-shirts for I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah, that's Chunky. Goo's running the store. I'm doing the designs because, as my other podcast partner knows, I don't post stuff, so I need somebody actually to like do things for me. But I'll be creative if somebody wants me to be. So we're running a store. We got like 10 or 11 t-shirts up there. So it's selling. I think we've sold like 4 or 5 Rossies, like PCP ones total. I have nice. 3 of them. Joe has 2 of them. And I think Fryer has 1 of them. So 6 total sales. So this one's doing a little bit better. So go check it out.
That one's more universal as well. Appreciate everybody who purchases anything. And yeah, go check out Bill's great designs. Bill, not all of us can be 5 tool players, all right? You're a strong 4 tool, all right? Just because you can't retweet things or tweet things doesn't make you a bad guy.
Let me do that right now for the podcast.
That was a hint. Podcast nonprofit is Frank Says Hi. And if you, this is the final week, we've gotten around like 10-ish, but if you leave a 5-star review that is noted, and basically if you just let us know, we have till the 15th, we gave it a month, leave a 5-star review, we'll be donating $10 in your name to Frank Says Hi and the One Mission Buzz Off for Kids with Cancer. For those watching via the video stream of this podcast, you see my hair is, now it just looks like a basic wiffle, but yeah, I shaved it all off for the kids with cancer. So we're doing that again through the rest of this week. And like we said, Bill, it's baseball time, your favorite sport and mine, America's pastime. Get out the peanuts, the Cracker Jacks. Damn, I don't care if I ever go back, Bill, because we are talking top 11 baseball movies.
A podcaster's dozen, if you will.
The famous podcaster's dozen, which reminds me of one thing. I just thought of it. Last year around this time, it was right around this time, is when baseball was returning. Mm-hmm. Sports were coming back, the bubbles for the NHL and the NBA, and we had our episode, Favorite Athletes. And that episode actually dawned the Rossi's horrible take.
It did?
Yeah, there's something I said there because I remember it because it was like...
Was this when I opened up with the ostrich? Like asked you what animal you'd want to be? That was it.
It must have been because I remember Change My Mind did that or something. They had that question that you asked me and I just said ostrich because I was on a Mario 2 kick and I love the freaking ostrich.
Well, if you talk to the average team...
did you click that?
No.
Oh, that was weird. Do we have a third man in here that's hovering? Anywho, yeah, so we're talking top 11 baseball movies, the podcasters dozen, and we did something a little different. We reached outside of the DSG to make a little bit of a pop culture pile driver advisory board, if you will. I think occasionally we can call on people just to get like a different vibe because our list would have been extremely different, Bill, than we'll just say with the final list. But we got a variety of, I want to say, let me just count them again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So 6 others outside of us to help create this list.
6 others, very close friends of ours who have never listened to the podcast.
That's not true. One has been on the podcast, so they had to listen to that just by being there. One definitely didn't. Well, we had Emerson, who was part of our holiday dessert tier list, where I almost ripped your head off because you were such a mean person during that one. You can go back to that in the archives. We've had – I forced a friend of the podcast, Matt Tu, to listen to one because I talked about the time I told his – I made up that his dad was sick, and he said, good pod. We got our friend – a good friend of ours, AG, put a list together. Friend of the podcast who has listened in the past, Pat, has put a list together. Adam Kaufman put a list together. Guarantee he's never listened to a second. Doesn't follow people on Twitter either. Sometimes the weird things about him. And then Tommy Freespops, newer to the DK – family that you helped.
Oh, okay. So I thought you threw it out just to our chat only, like our hometown group chat.
No, and I'll be honest, Bill, I was very stern about it. I said, email me the list. If you didn't email it, I didn't count it. I wasn't the only person only person I copy and pasted was yours because you are as much of this podcast as anybody has ever been. So F them. Right. I don't like copy and paste. I like lists. I like things very certain. When I ask for directions, don't dink me around there. And you know what else I don't like when people copy and paste things in chats? Then other people argue them. And guess what? I don't want your arguments. I want your list. Know what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
Anywho, But I do respect everybody. And also, it was limited time. I did it last night during the Home Run Derby, which I noticed, Bill, you tweeted, or you were in our DSG chat. You didn't watch Home Run Derby, did you?
I did. I watched the first round. I watched Shoei go off, and then, you know, Monday's usually when I do all my TV catch-up. That's all I really wanted to see. I mean, besides Shohei Ohtani, I don't really care. Soto showed me he's got a beautiful left-handed swing there. I like that kid. But after that, I didn't really care one.
The Muncie, there's great stories in there. Cancer, a guy who's recovered from cancer. But again, it was the Pete Alonso show, Bill. Get to know him. Guy was cutting promos like it's WWE. They had like a spinning championship, like
Cena
medallion. And it was spinning, Bill. It was like 2006 in WWE with John Cena.
Didn't he win last year too?
He won, yeah, 2 years ago. There was none last year, obviously. But yes, he's a back-to-back champion. And by the way, one thing just to note, Ken Griffey Jr.
Looks like he drank the gigantic juice from the Simpsons episode.
Bill, I looked at him. I was like, oh, it's just hard sometimes when you see
he's big. He's enjoying retirement.
You stay positive. You know what? Thank you for that, Bill. Thank you for that. All right,
Greatest, biggest stars in the world. Dude, live your life. Just don't be Elvis. Other than that, just keep it on track.
That's it. Words to Live By the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Don't be Elvis. If there was a burner account that said like quotes, that would make it. So good job. We barely have followers, and then all of a sudden I got burner accounts. All right, let's kick off the Podcaster's Dozen with number 11. And again, the way we did this, we asked people to send us their top 15 of the of their favorite baseball movies. And coming in, and we, you know, did the math and goo, and I put all the numbers together, crunched some numbers last night, which I like to do, Bill, I'm not going to lie, but then after a while, it gets like when I have to do it, like when I know it's pending, I'm like, oh, crap, I have to do a lot of math tonight. Got to use the old noggin. Coming in at number 11, aside from that, is 1994's Little Big League from IMDb. Little Big League is a 1994 American family sport film about a 12-year-old who suddenly becomes the owner and then manager of the Minnesota Twins baseball team.
I mean, it's a great premise for a movie, and wouldn't you love to do this? At one time, baseball was probably at least my second, if not my favorite sport. So, you know, I can get behind the idea of this movie. I never really liked this one, though.
Here's the thing about this movie that I think is, like, quietly a reason. Like, first of all, the movie's ridiculous. It's a genius, like, 90s premise. Where basically like an old man is like, I'm going to leave the team to my grandson. You're going to run the team and then manage it. It's like, what are we doing here? But Bill, the runtime of this movie is 2 hours.
Oh, for a 94 too? No, thank you. It does have like some of the classic, like I just picture the guy, I think Arthur Gosling, I pulled up the IMDb, plays Kevin Dunn. He's like the ultimate, like he's in every baseball movie.
Yeah, and here's the thing. There's no stars in this movie. All due respect to Kevin Dunn and to Jonathan Silverman. Like, and I know there's like
Dennis Farnia, the guy from the crappy version of Law and Order that made it go off the air.
But you know what I mean? Like, aside from like, yeah, those guys, you might recognize their face. You might not know them by name. There is nobody in this thing. There is no big stars. The kid who was it, Luke Edwards?
Mm-hmm.
Never heard from him again. Like, Timothy Bushfield? Like, what?
John? Yeah, I mean, it was not a star-making movie, and they didn't cast a lot of, you know, actual stars at the time. So, yeah, you pull up these guys' other IMDbs. I mean, they've been in a lot of baseball movies. I mean, Tim Bushfield was in whatever the hell's name was in Field of Dreams.
That movie's just filled with people that are in this list, which, spoiler ahead, you knew it was going to be on here somewhere. We'll get to it. But, yeah, Little Big League, not one that jumps off the page. Like, it's a great – I remember as a kid, it would be, like, the summertime. You, like, come in from the pool to have lunch or something, and that you pop that on the VHS. But, like, I don't remember it start to finish. Because I just remember the premise of, like, the whole team hating him and him being, like, in school talking with his classmates about the struggles of being a owner and manager. Like, why are you still in school? Like, you know what I mean? Wouldn't you be like homeschooled or like school? I know, again, trying to bring reality to an irrational situation, but still. Coming in now, Bill, at number 10, Angels in the Outfield.
Oh, our guy.
The
JGL.
Amazing performance by him. When the IMDb sentence on these movies, which is my favorite thing to do now. When a boy prays for a chance to have a family. When a boy prays for a chance to have a family, if the California Angels win the pennant, the Angels are assigned to make that possible. Think about that for a second. This kid is desperate for a family, and he puts it on the California Angels winning the pennant. Not even the World Series. They're not even going to win it all, Bill. They just got to win the pennant. They just got to make the series. Two takeaways, amazing cast, and like so many, just the angel standing up and doing the angel. Everybody, this movie came out also in 1994, a little short of a runtime, 140. And Bill, I don't care, you were in T-ball at the time, wherever you were, in 9 years old, 10 years old, and you definitely were doing the angels thing. Like when like your team was down.
You always say things like this, like you did the whistle while you worked at work. No,
I never did that. Oh, in the kitchen back in the day, me and Dale Arnold, we were always whistling. We were having a good old time. Me and him.
I quote this movie a lot, and it's the most random quote. I will just yell, "Go back to Cincinnati," all the time. Like somebody posted about it in our chat. They had angels on the outfield low, and I was like, "Go back to Cincinnati." But yeah, Danny F. and Glover, Christopher Danny Lloyd. Glover. I mean, this is a movie I haven't seen in a while, but I know that if I saw it again, just the nostalgia would bring me back. Tony Danza, of course. Tony Danza and JGL getting paired up a lot.
They
also
do.
In Sean John. Or Sean John.
Run him back.
Don John.
Don John, Sean John, Steve John. Either way, but yeah, obviously Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you mentioned. Christopher Lloyd's in this thing. It's such a ridiculous premise. This is a movie neither one of us, I think, would like just turn on, like, because, Angel in the Outfield. Like, but if like you came over and we're sitting out, or you're over my house, or like friends are together, like you would pop it on for a laugh. One other thing I got to note about this movie: how hot were those Angels hats back in the day? The CA, oh, beautiful. Yeah,
not a big fan of those.
No, see, I feel like I almost like want to buy one now. Like throwback hats are so cool. I feel like you don't see this one ever. Like I think I would stand out if I was walking through the, you know, the mall, and all the babes would be like, "Look at that guy in his cool hat."
I think there is a reason you don't see it a lot today. But just like these last two movies, kind of Space Jam-ish.
Yeah, it's also that time frame, and we were more young. So number nine, we're kicking it to a time before we were alive, Bill. The Bad News Bears.
And not my version.
you had the
I'll take the Billy Bob version all day.
See, I didn't know. Maybe that might have skewed my numbers there. I didn't know.
Yeah, that's fine. Same movie.
It really is, actually, almost word for word, aside from the swears. Bad News Bears, an aging, down-on-his-luck ex-minor league coach, says coaches, minor leaguer coaches a team of misfits in an ultra-competitive California Little League. This movie really is outstanding, and it's all Walter Matthau. He is, like, I knew him as the grumpier old men. Like, how were you into that? That's how I was introduced to him.
No. I was introduced to him with this movie because my parents loved this movie. My parents watched a lot of baseball movies for some reason. And my sister, too. It's weird. But, you know, it's a great movie. I really do love Billy Bob's portrayal of it, especially as, like, a skinny guy doing it. Walter Matthau, I think, fit the bill of a former major leaguer a little bit better. But just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just, in, like, all the obviously, the use of language in this time. Like, this was, 1978, I believe. Hold on, pulling up. But, yeah, like, this movie was just – also, like, kid actors then. Like, I don't know how many names there are here, but, like, this movie was just ridiculous. Obviously, the star stud, it was Tatum O'Neal, which, meow. And then you had Walter Matthau. I'm trying to see it. None of these names ring any bells. Chris Barnes, Alfred Luther. Bill Piazza, I think these are all a bunch of they were just kid actors in the late 70s. Again, this movie had a runtime of 142, 1976. Just a ridiculous film. And awesome artwork for the cover.
I think they mimicked it exactly for the cover of the Bad News Bears 2004.
Yeah, it sounds, was it 2004?
Whenever. Might have been 2005.
Okay, 2005. Either way, but this movie, hilarious, very rewatchable. I think as we get older, we can only relate. Like, imagine being a coach of a T-ball team right now.
Oh, a T-ball team? Oh, God, no.
I'm just saying, or a competitive, even worse, a competitive, real, like, skilled baseball youth team.
No, like a Legion team? God, no.
Get out of here. And you can't say crap. These days, this movie, Walter Matthau would be thrown in jail. He would be canceled. It would be a bad life.
Well, it wasn't even that they were competitive. They were terrible, right? Well,
I know, but it was in a competitive league. Ultra competitive. Wait, did I copy the same thing here? Anyways. That number nine, Bad News Bears. And again, one of those movies I think you could dust off. It's great, like this time of year where this is like the downtime in sports, even though in the year we're recording this, the NBA finals are still taking place. These are always great movies, I think, to like kick off when you get here in this time of the year. Bill, coming in at number eight, Bull Durham. And this is a fan who has an affair with one minor league baseball player's each season meets an up-and-coming pitcher, an experienced catcher assigned to him. And this, again, these sentences make barely any sense. But this is a movie, I'll be honest, Bill, I think it stinks.
Really? It's a lot of people's top baseball movie. Like, on most lists that I looked at, because I was scrambling for baseball movies and I only picked ones that I saw. I don't think it stinks. I think it's okay. I mean, Tim Robbins and his mom out there, just is it his mom or his wife? I always forget.
I believe that
was... It's his wife.
It's definitely his wife. It's definitely his mom. Susan Sarandon, with all due respect, like, whew.
Yeah, but she's looked the same age for... She looks the same age today as she did then, and she just looked older then. She just, like, looked like a more...
she looked like she was
an adult lady, yeah.
Yeah. She's always had... You're right. She has had that look, but in this movie, there was...
She's looked 40 for 40 years.
Yeah, she's kind of that, like, Steve Martin aspect to her. But there was something... It's the hair, too. Like, 80s, there was not a good time for, like, when you look back. Like, Susan Randall was almost 40 years younger or 30 years younger than she is now. And she looks, well, not exactly the same, but even go back 10 years. But, yeah, this movie to me definitely did not have any standout moments to me. It was not a movie I said, like, oh, yeah, I got to go put on Bull Durham again. Like, this is not – it just wasn't for me.
It's a lot of sexy time. It's less baseball.
Maybe that's what it was, because obviously I watched all these movies when I was a kid. And so, yeah, maybe I wasn't, you know, 1993, 94, 95, wasn't really big into the sax.
Yeah, it's a lot of painting toenails and stuff like that. And, you know,
a lot of cute relationships.
Yeah, it wasn't really a movie made for us. It came out in 1988. So obviously, whenever I watched this originally, I don't think I had the adult eyes for it. So maybe now I'd have a better perspective on it. But I mean, you know, Kevin Costner in his day, handsome man. I don't understand the appeal of Tim Robbins or ever. So.
Oh, come on. He was a stud one time. Just so you know, this has an IMDb rating of 7.1 out of 10 and has a super popularity score. So, yeah, very, very famously or fondly looked back on movie. That was number 8, Bull Durham. Number 7, Rookie of the Year.
Funky butt loving.
This movie has it all. When an accident miraculously gives a boy an incredible, powerful pitching arm, he becomes a major league pitcher for the Chicago Cubs. This premise takes a little big league and smokes it. Absolutely smokes it. This movie is ridiculously awesome. Came out a year before in 1993. And this also, just a minute, an hour 40 basic runtime. So far, the longest movie on this list has been Little Big League.
But, yeah, and this movie, this was one of the first movies I was excited to see as a child from the trailer and the movies. Like, literally when they said Funky Butt Lovin', I was like, all right, I'm in. It's got everything. It's got Chet Stedman. It's got the Hot Ice. It's got Brickman. The Have To and the Want To. Like, it's just one of those out there movies. Rabbit Boozer, Rosenbagger. It's a great kids movie. It's got the, you know, divorced mom with a crappy, crappy, but like just totally geeky, boyfriend that's in the picture. Yeah. I love everything about this movie. And obviously it spawned probably like, oh, let's get Angels in the Outfield and a Little Big League right away.
Oh yeah.
Baseball movies for kids are it. Yeah.
Thomas Ian Nichols, who went on to the American Pie fame, you know, this actually had somebody who did in the future. He was a hero because he did that. I'm talking about, if you saw the American Pie films, but yeah, he was awesome in this movie too as a kid actor. Now, awesome may be a little extreme, but he was believable, relatable when you were a kid. And again, he made me less scared to get hurt. I know it sounds random, but like his injury turned into the greatest thing that ever happened to him. He became a major league pitcher, Bill.
Oh, dude, Braun Strowman as the villain there, the guy with the home run. He looks just like Braun Strowman, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's Bruce
Booger.
Yes, that's funny. Also, Gary Busey just being in general. I know you mentioned his character name, but Busey.
The Rocket.
This is a movie. So I love, you know, I would probably say Angel in the Outfield, but like, I don't think I'd seek it out, but Rookie of the Year, absolutely worth your time. It has an IMDb score of 6.1 out of 10, popularity score, not as high as some of the others, but over 2,000 recently. So that comes in at our number 7. Our number 6. Oh, go ahead, please. Yeah,
I would quickly say I think it's a better, more fun movie than Space Jam.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think it really is. I think it's a better constructed movie, even with a more ridiculous – well, not more ridiculous, but an as ridiculous premise.
That's really hard for me. I don't – Space Jam is – I think still, like, for everything that Space Jam is, I would take Space Jam over this. But for this week –
it's Daniel Stern's only other big movie.
You. Shout out to Daniel Stern. Love him. Celtic pride in the house. Coming in at number six, Bill, is your number one baseball movie. It is Major League Two.
With a bullet.
Yeah, with a sentence. The Indians are now World Series contenders, but last year's hunger is now replaced with complacency and bad decisions by the new owner threatening to tear the team apart.
Oh, no. We suck again. I mean, just from the start with the recap and Harry Doyle going banana land, it's such a great movie. They get Jack Parkman, who's an absolute jerk. Even in a new silly, even it's amazing how a uniform can change a guy. He's still a dick. I mean, yeah. Harry Doyle in this one, I think, is better. I love the addition of Rube Baker. I know a lot of people think it takes it over the top, but you kind of need that for a comedy sequel. It's tough to make a good comedy sequel.
This is
one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, you've said that numerous times. So this isn't hyperbole or hyperbole, but I'm telling you that this movie is on that list of good comedy sequels. Now, yes. I had it. We both equally had this over Major League. Obviously, the others outweighed our numbers, but I still think it's because I have fonder memories of this film because it's more generated towards our age group at the time. This movie came out in 1994. Runtime of 145 has only a 5.6 out of 10, which one of the lowest rated movies. But that's just
went to go see his movies in theaters. It was only out for 90 minutes. Already did most of his stunts and his own acting.
Well, it's great. It does have it all. But I think it's more like I can understand if you like the first one a lot. It kind of
it's a better movie. The first one.
Yeah, in like this one, it just makes it like it's almost like an ad libs in a way, but then not as good. It's kind of like what the not to the extreme, but what the Hangover did, like Hangover 1 to 2. But this one, I still think has so much more quality, and like I think this is what made some of these characters iconic. Like I swear, Wild Thing was really known after the first one. I remember as a kid, but this put it over the edge. Like at this time, like Wild Thing was as popular as ever. The song, the you know everybody you know with the taped glasses. This became
If you get a piece of it, I'll let you name the next one. I think I'll call it the Masturbator. I could have been the Artistator, the Sealator, whatever for Vaughn. He's going away for the winter. Should have been called the Hibernator. Like, this has so many good it's just joke after joke. One of my favorite things is, like, Willie Mays Hayes, who's not even the same guy. He's not even the same actor. They still pull it off. He keeps pointing to the left fielder. And he's like, does he know that guy? And then after he hits the second or third almost home run, he's like, oh, he could be pointing to the left fielder. Like, it's just comedy on top of comedy, whereas the first one was a serious movie.
Yeah, and also this one brings more, you know, Rick Vaughn becomes like the star of this.
He's the main character.
Yeah, and you got the love story with the children. I think that's also what some people might not like as much. Yeah, you did mention Willie Mays Hayes, now played by Omar Epps.
And he's so good. He's so good in this movie.
His comedy time, because it was Wesley Snipes in the first one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Well, obviously, we'll get to it. But yeah, this movie really does – it packs a nice punch. And this might be, out of all of them, the movie. And I think you may have said, like, you're going to rewatch this. Like, this is a very
– oh, yeah.
Turn it on and enjoy yourself. Like, funny, has adult comedy. You could watch this with younger children as well.
To me, it's Naked Gun 33 and a third, the baseball scene, if it was an entire movie. Which I put on my list because I ran out of baseball movies. I almost put the Simpsons episode of Talking Baseball.
But that is by far one of the best baseball anything's ever made. All right, that's number six, Major League Two. Number five, my number one, The Sandlot.
In the summer, care for it.
Let me read it first. In the summer of 1962, a new kid in town is taken under the wing of a young baseball prodigy and his rowdy team, resulting in many adventures. This movie kicks ass, Bill. 1993, again, this also sparked this and Rookie of the Year. Similar time frame. This movie has a runtime of 140 as well. 7.8 out of 10, one of the highest rated. Popularity super low on this movie, though. Way lower than most. It's just not searchable right now, even though it's a great 4th of July movie as well. This also doesn't have many stars that Patrick Renna has done stuff. The kid was in like The Big Green, the freckled kid. Mm. But this movie just, I love it. I watch it. Oh, Dennis Leary, obviously. He's into James Earl Jones, but outside of that, like, this movie is just fantastic. This has it all. This reminds me so much of being a kid, playing stickball and wiffle ball, being really bad at both with all my buddies, and, like, also, like, the pool scene. the iconic Wendy Peppercorn or Pepperhorn, however you say her name.
Like, Wendy Peppercorn?
Yes. Right. What? Just another one of those like iconic moments to me in film, because this kid, you know, Squint, fakes being drowning in the pool. And by the way, that's a long con. He is taking that mouth-to-mouth resuscitation for like 40 seconds, 50 seconds. Oh, yeah.
The best part, too, he might have actually been like in the movie-wise out cold. The best part, too, is the girl smiles at him on the way out.
Because she knows it took big cojones, Bill. They get booted from the pool the whole time, so they couldn't go back. Nope.
And doesn't he marry her in the epilogue, too?
Yeah, he sure does. That's just how it works in life. The first girl you kissed when kind of inappropriately, well, majorly inappropriately, that's how you marry. Just in case you were wondering, Bill, if you still need if you need number two, just do something really inappropriate. That's how it works.
All right.
It's advice to get arrested by. That's assault, brother.
I mean, it's not a bad movie. I just think I think it's a little bit overrated. I don't hate it. I don't dislike it. It was on my list, but I don't think it's like the greatest thing ever to, you know, encapsulate my childhood. I probably had quite a different childhood. I think I played stickball like four times, played a lot of wiffle ball, but yeah.
You had it ranked 10th. So it made the top 10 for argument's sake. I had it in my number one. Emerson had it his number one. Pat had it his number one.
Oh, yeah. So it didn't stand a chance. I have not been.
No, it was going to be on the top 11. But then a couple, like it was in a lot of people's top 10. Like it almost made everybody's top 10. Aside from Kaufman. Kaufman had it number 13.
All right. So I'm on the side of Kaufman. That's never good.
There you go. That just swallow it in, Bill. All right. Number four is A League of Their Own. Two sisters join the first female professional baseball league and struggle to help it succeed amid their growing rivalry. This movie, Bill, screams early 90s. This is the longest movie on the list. Comes in at 2 hours, 8 minutes. Has a 7.3 out of 10. Popularity is meh. It has John Lovitz, so you know the movie's good.
John Lovitz or Leavitz. It's, you know, going to be remembered for the, you know, there's no crying in baseball scene, one of the best scenes. But it's just a great flick. It's got Tom Hanks. How can you not love a Tom Hanks film? And these are the kind of roles I really like as Tom Hanks, like an everyman kind of role, obviously. You know, being a baseball manager is, you know, a job you come across. But, like, he wasn't, like, stranded on an island or Forrest Gump. He's just a dude. You know what I mean?
He's a dude that hates things. He's a very frustrated dude. He's coaching an all-woman team during the war. You got Gina Davis bringing her fastball this time, too. Gina Davis, very underrated. Madonna. You got Rosie O'Donnell, another underrated beaut. You have just an incredible, pretty damn good cast overall of, you know, array of female actresses. And it is just – it's a fun movie. Like you said, it has the famous No Crying in Baseball. It is just – again, it's a if you like baseball – and you like Tom Hanks will obviously bring you in. This movie has a lot to offer. And in the storyline of the sisters and kind of how this whole league kind of comes together and then how the fans grow during the time. Really, really good movie. Not the best movie, I would say. Like, if we're looking at, like, best movies, I think that's still to come. But this is one of the best. And, again, as a kid, I don't know why I would be – like, we watch these movies. Like, I was, like, 8 years old and I'm watching A League of Their Own quite often. And I don't know why. Like, what interest did I really have? But – different times. Like, it was like The Lion King, then A League of Their Own. Like, random, right?
It was on TV?
Nah, good point. Or maybe I had those really cool Disney VHS tapes, the clamshells there. All right, so coming in now at number three, Bill. At number three, I will say the best movie on my list. And I had it right – I think this is my number two, if I'm not mistaken. It is. This was your number –
five?
No, you had number nine. Your number
nine. Really? I should have moved this up probably. I think I had all the comedies out of it.
It is Moneyball. Oakland A's general manager Billy Beane successfully attempts to assemble a baseball team on a lean budget by employing computer-generated analysis to acquire new players. This movie is fantastic, in my opinion. Some people think it stinks. I don't get it. I think everything about this is great. And let's just be honest, Bill. Say they're going to make a movie about you, but you're a studly man.
Oh, my God in heaven, to be played by fucking Brad Pitt.
And by the way, 2011, so 10 years ago from when we're recording, not that he doesn't still have his fastball, but this is like...
He's still great. I mean, he looks great right now.
He looks fantastic, but I'm just saying this was like amazing. Amazing. Like this guy, and again, this is a movie where he's playing a general manager of baseball, and it's Brad freaking Pitt.
And they don't even win. No, they win the World Series, which is like another great part. But the streak is amazing. Yes. The Scott Hatterberg part with it's not that hard to play first base. It's incredibly hard to play first base. And they get that's what's his name? That's Chris Pratt.
Yes,
right. That's one of his.
Yeah, Chris Pratt. Yes, play Scott Hatterberg. This is when he was right.
That's one of his first hunky roles.
Yeah, before he got
slimmed up.
Yeah, and he was great in this movie. There's so many, you know, again, the Jonah Hill as Peter Brand, mm-hmm. like great role for him. Obviously, against quote unquote skinny Jonah.
He plays a great second nerd, right?
Yes. This is when he was like starting. He lost like maybe 10 pounds, and he looks. It's weird in this movie. If you actually watch, he gets like bigger as the movie goes on, because I think they wanted him to be like a really chunky guy, and this was when he was in that weird flux. But this movie, again, Aaron Sorkinson did the screenplay. I think he's amazing. You really don't get, you know, better than him. You have Robin Wright in this movie as well, fantastic actress. You have Philip C. Hoffman as the owner. Like, this is a good movie. And again, if you are a baseball fan, you remember this. Like, you've heard about Moneyball, the book that came out. Mm-hmm. Everything about this is 2001.
This probably is what ruined baseball for me, but it's a great movie. And this
Moneyball idea.
No, the idea of putting stats behind every decision in baseball.
Welcome to baseball, Bill. That is a big – you're right. That is a big part of what we have these days. But
the amount of numbers that they had up on the home run derby with angles and speed, I'm like, dude, just tell me how many home runs he has. That's all I fucking care about. And one last thing. This is probably the role that got Jonah Hill the role in Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, this is the role that made Jonah Hill
– an actor.
Like, I hate to say it that way because clearly he's an actor, but like made him a player. Like awards were nominated for in this film. This movie is really good. Like you don't have to care about baseball to care about the way that Brad Pitt portrays Billy Beane, the way Billy Beane does his job. The trade scene, Bill, and I forget, I think it's Rendon they're trading for, and Jonah Hill, this is like a big thing. Again, I haven't done it a lot, but he used to do, for those watching, he used to do that. When he gets the trade done, like the negotiation in that, when Billy Beane, like I have to do some negotiating in my day to day, and I absolutely take his approach most of the time. He just hangs up. He like gets the answer he wants, gets off the phone.
Yeah.
Well, what do we do? How do we get the paper? It's like send the paper. Just send it. We got it. And then he gets the other phone call, and they get. It is just fantastic film. And again, one of my favorite scenes is him driving to the park and listening to the radio and the criticisms and the streak, and he like can't be out there to watch. He's like working out, which again. It's just they had to get Brad Pitt looking all sweaty.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, like, I also Billy like this.
Do you think Billy Beane was hitting the treadmill, really, like that?
No. I do like the cinematic nature, too, of the movie. Like, they didn't treat it like it was a baseball. Like, a lot of the major league stuff is really bright and, bright colors in the daytime. This was more, you know, felt like nighttime the whole time, right?
Oh, yeah.
I remember correctly.
A lot of nighttime here, especially being with the with the Oakland A's, and that again, great season. Again, the way in the story, the epilogue to it all, where he's being coaxed over to come to Boston, which was a real situation. Mm-hmm. The movie's great. He ends up staying there, and I don't even know where he is now. He's not there anymore. Okay, so just to recap, we'll get some honorable mentions, and we'll hit our top two. Little Big League at 11, Angels in the Outfield at 10, Bad News Bears at 9, Bull Durham at 8, Rookie of the Year, Rosenbagger at 7, you got Major League 2 at number 6, The Sandlot at 5, 4 was A League of Their Own, 3, Moneyball. Bill, a couple honorable mentions for you. You see what the note top two are. So what are some that did not make this list that you had mentioned?
Let me pull up my list real quick here.
You had Naked Gun in there. You had the Bench Warmers. You're the only person to put the Bench Warmers, which
I love the Bench Warmers.
Never seen it. Never
That's
seen
a good
it.
Movie. It's fun.
You had Mr. 3000. I thought that movie stinks.
I just needed baseball movies.
I understand. I just think like some people talk that movie up a little bit. Obviously, movies that didn't make it, 42. Excellent movie. 61, which is an HBO exclusive Billy Crystal put together about the home run chase. And obviously has the asterisk at the end with just an awesome, awesome film. And Billy Crystal, one of the best, you know, minds, especially when it comes to some sporting movies, especially baseball. For me, I'll just mention too that Fever Pitch was my number three movie. Fight Me. That movie is great. That movie is so watchable.
Oh, no.
I love that. I have so much enjoyment by that movie. I laugh out loud several times throughout it. Don't care. Not ashamed of it at all. Never am going to be ashamed. My number three baseball movie. And yes, of course it has ties because the Red Sox and that amazing run in 04.
I think it's somebody else loves it in the DSG. I also think somebody in DSG said Gina Davis is the most beautiful woman ever too.
Oh, wow. So we're whoever that is that Fryer? Me and Fryer on the same page? Who we got?
It might be, yeah.
Two peas in a pod.
He likes according to Jim, so anything's on the table.
I've never been a fan of that one, but I would watch it. If me Fryer wanted to come over and binge a season with me, I'm in. But yeah, Fever Pitch, I'm telling you, I just have hysterical laughs throughout that film. Two movies I just want to mention that didn't make it that I really liked. The Fan. Do you remember The Fan, Bill, with Wesley Snipes and
Robert De Niro? Oh, yeah. My dad liked that for some reason. It was creepy as hell.
Oh, my God. Robert De Niro. That's when I was like, wait, this is not a gangster. This guy was vicious. He plays the umpire at the end of the game when it's pouring rain and he needs to hit a home run to save his family. And there's the great scene where Robert De Niro cuts, I think it's the catchers. Like he murders players, like baseball, famous baseball players. And nobody cares the next day. And he rips off the tattoo that the guy had like branded in his shoulder and has it in Wesley Snipes' freezer. Oof, what a movie. And then also Summer Catch, because yeah, if you didn't like Summer Catch, something was wrong with you. Movie absolutely stinks. But you had Freddie Prinze Jr., who I just have an affinity for. I just love everything he's in for some reason. And you had Bringing Nothing But Her Fastball with Jessica Biel.
And did we mention Hardball? I know our guy Frank here in the chat is going to have an absolute aneurysm, but I've never even seen it.
Hardball was number two on Freeze Pop's list and did not make my list and did not make a lot. Pat had Hardball, I believe, in his at number 11. AG have it in there? No. Like, yeah, didn't make a lot of people's list. I think it's just – that was the one with Keanu Reeves, I believe.
Yeah, and I've seen it. It looks like it's he coaches the Little League team.
Yeah, I just don't – maybe it was just like because it feels like a little bit of a Bad News Bears. I don't know. Didn't make the list. Sorry. For you, Bill, I'm trying to see if there's any other. Well, then you just said like Matt too is a big baseball fan, not a big movie guy, but did ask. He has Jose Canseco's 40 for 40 instruction video on here. Ken Barnes baseball, like he did kind of what you were thinking.
Tom Bonanski is back to back to back to back AAU national championships, so we can get those guys going.
I'll give Tom Bonanski this. He really did show me how to scoop. Like if you're playing the infield on the right side, third or short, like I didn't know how to do that when I was a kid. Like no. When I was like, I didn't know the scoop to already have like your elbow up in position. Man, you see it every day.
Did you say Three Ninjas Kickback?
I did not. I was going to get to your ridiculous ones. Is there a baseball scene in that movie?
I don't even remember. I just looked up. It was on the list. I was like, I'm putting it on there. It's been so long. I remember the other three, like Three Ninjas original.
You said Naked Gun for the famous scene. Gross. Trying to think of any others here that people – oh, The Natural does not make the list. Kevin Costner will make it, but not in this one. Trying to think of – like, yeah, that's basically – I feel like we've covered almost every baseball movie. Don't see as many baseball movies now. Moneyball obviously being the famous one. Bull Durham, Sandlot, Bad News Bears. All right, let's get into the top two then, Bill. Number two, first I'm going to see where you rank this one. You had this, Bill – as your
12?
Good Lord, 12. I had this one as my sixth. So, I'm not a fan. It is Field. Oh, I'm a fan, but it's Field of Dreams. Iowa farmer Ray is inspired by a voice that he cannot ignore to pursue a dream that he can hardly believe. Supported by his wife, Ray begins a quest by turning his ordinary cornfield into a place where dreams can come true. This premise is wild. This movie is whacked, but it, like, there's no crying in baseball. It has a famous quote that everybody knows.
If you build it. Yeah, and it has some crossover with some other baseball movies, right? It's James Earl Jones and the dude from Bull Durham, Kevin Costner.
Yep.
Who is it? Kevin Costner who made the lights go out at Camden Yards, allegedly? Was that the guy?
Allegedly,
Cal Ripken's,
with the lights.
So.
Again, so allegedly. Nothing has been confirmed from that, but it's a great urban legend.
Probably my favorite story in the history of sports urban legends.
Oh, well, listen, we talked Space Jam last week. For those that haven't heard, you can check that out. But Michael Jordan's dad, you know, the hit on him, that's a big one too.
This is a fun one, though. Well, not necessarily a fun one because it's adultery, allegedly. But, yeah.
Not as dangerous as the other. But, yeah, Ray Liotta in this is Shoeless Joe Jackson. All the old players here, but like you said, James Earl Jones, if you build it, they will come. You have Kevin Costner, who is fine. You have Amy, I think it's McGann, and you know, again, Magnan, she wasn't anything special to me either, but this movie is also, has a runtime, Bill, of 147. So again, shorter in Little Big League, has a 7.5 out of 10 and has a pretty good popularity over on the IMDb. Again, not a movie I seek out, not a movie I see on television a lot anymore. It's on like MLB Network, if anything, which is strange to see a movie on.
I was just never into it. It's just, this to me was the essence of baseball today. Boring.
Crazy. It's crazy. But again, overall, like when it comes to baseball, this is a movie that comes almost straight to mind just because of A, the title Field of Dreams, and you know, at the end, they have like a baseball game with all these old, late famous players. Again, Iowa, yeah, just it's fine. Again, just not for me, but again, very heavily weighted by people outside of this. Field of Dreams, Adam Kaufman's number one, was high on almost everybody else's list. Field of Dreams is AG's number one movie. Yeah, Anthony, so the advisory board taking this one. And then number one, Bill, Major League. The new owner of the Cleveland Indian puts together a purposely horrible team so they'll lose and she can move the team. But when the plot is uncovered, they start winning just to spite her.
I mean, it's a great actual movie. It has comedy all over it. Harry Doyle's very good in this one. You get the crappy team bus rides. You get the crappy team planes. You get the guy from the penal system. Rick Wildthing Vaughn. But the main thing is, you know, the older guy's storylines in this one, which doesn't do it for me as much.
See, you have also Wesley Snipes playing Willie Mays Hayes in this one, who was really good. And the coach, really the coach makes this one. Obviously, you got Dorn, Corbin Burnson, great. And this he was better in this than he was in the second one.
Oh, no way. He was way better in the second one. Is April too early for a Roger Dorn night? This one, he's kind of a dog. This one of the main storylines, his wife. This is the actual storyline that I like. His wife gets kind of back in the game when she sees him go into like a hotel room with a young minx, and then she sleeps with Vaughn.
Meow. Yeah, things happen. Well, this movie definitely way more dramatic. But who was the owner in this? Renee Russo. She wasn't the owner. She's just one of the actresses. I forget the woman's name. I had it here earlier. It doesn't matter. She's not very famous, but she, what a fox, Bill. And then this was, I remember this movie came up, by the way, in 1989 and had the coolest looking poster. Because you had the baseball cards of the players, and you had that badass-looking,
baseball with a mohawk.
Yeah, so it was kind of, I guess, I don't know what's proper terms these days, like a Native American-esque look on the baseball, being that it was the Cleveland Indians, who will no longer be the Cleveland Indians next year, according to all sources. The Spiders are one of the favorites. Cleveland Spiders, Bill. Cleveland Spiders. Anyways, but yeah, this movie, when you know, this part where every time they win, they get to rip off a piece of the dress
clothing,
that I'm telling you, even as a kid I was so uncomfortable by, because I didn't I'm like, wait, why are you undressing this woman? Even though, and then as you get further on, like, I thought, is there nudity there? I still don't know,
because is it rated R?
The movie is rated, I think everything was, yes, rated R. I think there might be the nips in this movie. I think there's nips under there, but I think we've seen it so many times where you don't see that. I'm pretty sure there's nudity.
I mean, I've mostly seen this movie on TV, and I don't think we've actually shouted out one of my favorite characters from the entire series, who gets, you know, the launching pad here as the Allstate guy, but Pedro Serrano.
Oh, Pedro Serrano is unreal.
Again, better than the second movie.
Though. Second one, yes. By the way, I guess no nudity. It says there's partial nudity in team locker room, bare butts, balls
back.
Are visible. The female team owner slaps a couple of players' bare butts. Two sets of characters have off-screen sex. Viewers see just foreplay and afterglow. Oh, what a term. Foreplay and afterglow, Bill. We should make a cover band. And a player is caught cheating on his wife in a televised news segment that we just mentioned. Yeah, okay, so maybe not. Maybe there isn't nips. Maybe it's like an urban legend in my head or a baron.
Yeah, she snaps a jock in Major League 2, too.
Yeah, that's right. All right, anyways, Major League, again, I think the better film, more fun Major League 2, but our number one, the pop culture pile driver, lock it in, baby, number one baseball movie, Major League. Go out and watch it during these weird off days. You have the All-Star game, then you have you have the finals of the NBA, but then you have some off days. Throw on Major League. It's a fun film if you'd enjoy. And again, if I didn't already say, it has a 7.2 out of 10 and a high popularity rate on IMDb. So the highest one for ratings purposes still is Moneyball getting that. And, you know, Sandlot had a 7.8, which is right up against it. Again, the kids, man. It's all about the kids. Any qualms about the list, Bill? Anything you really just go, oh, man, like that's stupid, that stunk, didn't like this?
No, I think the balancing act here helped it out because you got the comedy up high and you got the real heavy hitter, big time movies down low. And I actually might have to watch Hardball because who doesn't love the Keanu Reeves flick?
Bill, I've been watching some stuff. This Fear Street, that is a three-part series, R.L. Stein book series that's been turned into film. We had 1994 last time. This is 1978. I like 78 better.
Really?
I thought this movie was really good, and I've seen most reviewers not like it as much. I just didn't find it as corny. I found it a little more appealing, and it's just more of a slasher, too. If you're going to watch a horror movie, you have the nostalgia of, like, the Friday the 13th, the Halloweens. This kind of gave me more of that vibe, and it had the redhead girl, I apologize for not knowing her name, from Stranger Things Season 2 and 3. So she's really good. I think she's just a strong actress. I think she's going to be – I think she's in it for the long haul. But this movie's really good. A lot of gore. Had my wife wincing in moments, which I haven't seen her do that in a long time. Like actually trying to like cover her face, which I was like, okay, this. And there is no stopping the gore in these films. Like this is not for kids. R.L. Stein, the name. It's like, you know, he's putting it all on the line here. There's no goosebumps in this one, Bill.
All right, I'll check it out. I mean, I will watch horror from time to time. So
you won't watch it. Okay.
You don't know that.
I do. You're lying to me. Unless you're going to get some popcorn action in the middle of the film. You no one's dragging you into this one.
I don't know about that.
We'll see. And then one of the things I have to mention, Bill, obviously now I'm on like the third or fourth watcher of I Think You Should Leave Season 2. And I have my new favorite.
What is it?
And it doesn't matter for what people think, but I think this one has the total package, has everything that I'm looking for. It's stupid. And that's why I love it. It's the Blues Brothers skit, Bill.
Honestly, it's better than people give it credit for.
I think it's absolutely hilarious because the way it starts, the little elements that develop through it, it's ridiculously funny. And it is, and again, it has it's one of the few that in this season have the ending that actually follows, like it doesn't just cut. Like it actually comes to an end where I think it's hilarious. The dog bit, the woman's son that comes out, like the woman, they're just having a horrible, it's like they're all away at somebody's like, I don't know, camp house or like beach. I don't know where they are, but they're not in there. Someone's home, I don't believe. I think they're in some like vacation home and it is absolutely hilarious. And it has our guy, Robbie Stark from.
For Rob Stark, Robbie Stark Superstrack Records or whatever the hell it is. I just, the way he says that too.
Yeah, he's amazing. I love that guy. He was in the masturbation one or the honk if you're horny one as well from the first season. I really like that guy. The whole look, there's just so many elements that keep going and he keeps asking his girlfriend to turn and he just never stops. He goes, what are you doing? I'm saving the party, man. Like it's great. That one gets, I've watched it. Like I've purposely gone to that one.
So I'm probably at 6 or 7 on the rewatch, you know, 8 or 9 on the ones that I really like. And I also have two, I'd say like a new top two, maybe three. The insider trading is really good. I think it's the best sketch put together wise, and it's hilarious. But like Sloppy Steaks and Dan Flashes, Sloppy Steaks is fucking, let's slop them up. Like, well, Bill, when he's explaining, sloppy, it's when you take water and dump it all over a prime cut of steak. And then Dan Flashes, when he's yelling, when he's like, fuck you, Doug, you fucking skunk. Like the fact that he calls him a skunk is hilarious. I don't know why, it just kills me.
See, I think those two are like, no, and this is my, like, are like home runs. Like, I think there's like the sloppy steaks, the fact that you call it sloppy steak shows how much variety that has. Like, you
pouring water on a fucking steak.
Well, just think that, but that's like latter portion. There's flashbacks, there's all these, that has it all. It's all because he wants, he holds a baby. The baby's that's crying, it's because I used to be an asshole.
Or piece of shit. I didn't know your dad used to be a piece of shit. All that hair would slick back real nice. Look at that. You didn't tell me your dad used to be a piece of shit.
That one and the one where he's, you know, the Dan Flash as you mentioned. And then, like, I know this was weird, but, like, the Little Buff Boys, I don't like the actual original skit as much. But the one where the guy talks about
being I hate that.
But the guy who talks about, like, the
I like the Little Buff Boys. I don't like the side commercial for it.
Oh, I think that's hilarious. I don't know what it is because he's also, like, super out of shape. And the way he talks about – that one gets me. And there's so much now watching it, like, that relates to season one. So I'm looking forward to Mac and Goo and Dork are going to be reviewing it in upcoming weeks. I'm looking forward to hearing those. Just one last note. I think it's weird that I haven't seen, at least in our DSG chat, but then again, I miss things. I post things, and this is why I have to stay out of it. I repost things somebody else did. But the guy who was Howie in the first season, either he had a rapid weight loss or they were like stuffing him in the first season, because he's in the second season in the date scene when they're at the weird restaurant.
I think they made him look a little pudgier. His face looks about the same.
You think so? Bill, he looks like he went from like, I think that man lost 100 pounds. He has, I know facial hair does a lot for Bill, but he looks completely different. And that's another one, hilarious. That one gets me a lot as well.
I like it too. I don't find it like hysterical, but I like it.
Yeah. Anything you've been watching, Bill, aside from obviously 5,000?
Yeah, just Loki, Dave, and Rick and Morty. I would say Loki back on track to be in an amazing show. I think it's a little bit surface level, very easy writing, but it's a lot of fun. And, you know, for the people that care about it, it's advancing the story of the MCU. I like a really entertaining piece of content. To me, it doesn't have to move the plot along 10, 20x fold. And Rick and Morty has been a little disappointing. Dave also, I mean, people have hated on it because it's uncomfortable, but I like that.
Yeah, I told you, I kind of bailed.
That's all right. That's fine.
But it just wasn't for me. Maybe it'll be for me another time. But yeah, Loki, I'm going to get into now that like MCU is back because Black Widow's been released. I've yet to see it. Maybe we'll get a little get together. We will see it soon. But speaking about that, this week in
the Shared Gooniverse.
All right, so this week in the DSG, Dork did Black Widow. Mac and Goo did the 1989 classic Aliens. CMC, Black Widow. TLDR, Talk Books. I've Heard It Both Ways, a Psych Rewatch podcast. We are recording tonight and a bonus episode because our guy Joe is going away. That'll be the season finale and a little something fun. Get Help, a local podcast. I'm sure we'll be doing something Wednesday for, I believe, the season finale of the show. And then our streamers, Shime Time, Arvon D, and Dr. Joe, go check them all out.
Yeah, I've heard a tease for a future, another DSG get-together playing potentially. Obviously, Mario Golf should be the next one, but I think there's talk of Super Smash, some other games. I look forward to that. Also, a tease ahead, next week we will have a 2001 wrestling draft. I'm working on some special guests for that one, some first-timers. Also, we have something very special we're cooking up with the whole DSG group. We have to, you know, trying to formulate those people all together at the same time should be fun, but something a little different that we, you know, speaking on the video game terms, but we'll have that coming up. Also, this week, I'm going to record a little something for Money in the Bank, Bill, because wrestling fans are back, Bill. I didn't even mention that in what I've been watching. It's time. If you're feeling it, like you, WWE, AEW just did it. They pulled out all the stops. You have Aleister Black now part of AEW, not getting the 90-day no compete. That's big news in the wrestling world. Got the 30-day, very rare. He's now in AEW. Crowds, they're traveling. Wrestling will be back on the road full-time for most major, for AEW, WWE. So you know they're going to pull out all the stops. They got Money in the Bank this week. You have the first SmackDown in front of an audience this Friday night. So I think there's going to be some big headlines coming out of this. I think they're going to try to really group things together. And I will recommend, Bill, when you're taking a poop, just Google Ricochet John Morrison from Monday Night Raw this week. Awesome. Like, just entertaining to watch. It was a
Yeah.
And those two guys are absolute maniacs. It's almost like, you know, the things Morrison could do 20 years ago or 10 years ago. He's unbelievably can still do them now. He's an elder statesman as well. So
was it probably like the, didn't Ricochet have like a indie match with that other dude who was crazy?
Crap, I'm not going to remember it, and we don't have time for it. There it is, everybody. There's your Rossi and Billy don't remember a name of the week. That's why I had to keep IMDb's open. But yeah, well, also for August, we're going to do some stuff because SummerSlam, Bill, it'll be 15 years since we were there in person. I think we reviewed that one.
Ooh, Will Ospreay, by the way.
Will Ospreay, thank you, Bill. Suck it, everybody. But no, hope everyone just has a fantastic week. Please do rate, review this podcast. 5-star review is $10 donation for kids with cancer. Be huge for us. Follow him at BillyD2411. I'm at Jason D. Rossi. Bill, any parting words for the fine folks?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.